You tell me that you enjoyed the Olympics. So when we start reminiscing about some of the great characters and the great performances, be it Laura Trott or Maddie Hinch or Mo Farah or Usain Bolt, you just look completely blank. You haven't got a clue who I'm talking about. You tell me one thing, but the reality is completely different. Well, then again, maybe you tell me that Pokemon Go has changed your life. You explain about gyms and incubation. You know that Ditto on the screen is really rare. Anyone here caught Ditto? I won't say I have, because I haven't. But I soon discover that, like me, you've never caught a Pokemon in your life. You tell me one thing, but your behavior is rather different. You tell me that camp this year was the best ever. You learned so much, and you're really fired up and want to be different, want to follow Jesus in this coming term and year. Or you tell me that, yes, although it was a long time ago, you did pray a prayer of commitment, and that has changed your life over time. Or you tell me that St. John's is great. St. John's is really important to you. And you rejoice in the fact that you're regular at your small group. But what does your behaviour tell me? You say you follow Jesus, but you're in a relationship with a non-Christian. You say you follow Jesus, but you're cheating on your tax return. You say you follow Jesus, but you're having sex with someone you're not married to. You say you're having Jesus, but you continue to gossip. You say you follow Jesus, but you continue to watch porn on the internet. What does your behavior tell me? Well, this parable that we just heard read from Matthew 21, if you've shut your Bibles, page 996 is where you need to be. Jesus tells to the chief priests and the elders. We know that from verse 23. They are the religious and the civic leaders. They're the really important people. And what he says to them is that you are this second son. You are the brother who says yes but does nothing. Your words are telling me one thing, but your behavior is saying something else entirely, telling a completely different story. And what your behavior says is that you are living to serve yourself. That's the story of the two brothers, isn't it? The father says, son, go and work in the vineyard today. The first son says, I will not, but afterward changes mind and went. The second says the same, I go, sir, but did not go. You see, the boys are only interested when it suits them, when it fits in with what they want to do. They say, the second son says, what you want to hear. Yes, of course, I'll go. Maybe just to get you off their back, to buy a bit more breathing space. But of course, it doesn't mean there'll be any action. The first one, of course, flatly refuses you. Now, we know this, we understand this. We've all done it ourselves, both sides of the equation. Maybe it's happened in your household even today. There's always something more important to do, isn't there, than cutting the grass, helping with the washing up, tidying my room. And let me just say that having been away for 4 months, one of the things I was determined to do was to clear up my study. Guess what I haven't done yet? Who knows when? Somebody said it could be a New Year resolution. I said, brilliant, I'll leave it till January. That sounded fine to me. What have the religious leaders agreed to do? Well, they've agreed to serve God and the people of God. That's their responsibility. They have a particular role, but they haven't followed through. How do we know they haven't followed through? We know by their reaction to Jesus. Just look down to the end of this chapter, verse 46. And although they were seeking to arrest him. And then chapter 26, they plotted together in order to arrest Jesus by stealth and kill him. That's how we know they haven't followed through. That's how we know what they're really about. That's how we know they're not serving God and his people. They've said one thing, their behavior tells a completely different story. Whereas the tax collectors and the prostitutes, well, they're like the first son. They've said no to God. Their life and their lifestyles tell you they've said no to God. But having heard John the Baptist and Jesus, no doubt, they've changed. They've turned their back on their old lives. They now do what God wants. They do his will. And they are now members of his kingdom, his people. So, as we think about these two brothers, which brother are you most like? Are you still saying no to Jesus? Are you still refusing him? Or are you trying to buy him off by saying yes? And you're just fitting him in where it's convenient. But really, living for yourself all the time. Beginning to serve Jesus, verses 31 and 32. Which of the two did the will of his father, Jesus asked. They said, the first. Jesus said to them, truly I say to you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes go into the kingdom of heaven God before you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him, but the tax collectors and the prostitutes believed him. And even when you saw it, you did not afterwards change your minds and believe him. You see, the second brother gets there in the end, doesn't he? Just as the tax collectors and the prostitutes have, because they've heard and believed. That's what verse 32 tells us. What's required? Hearing the good news and believing it. They've heard the good news from John the Baptist, as we heard in our opening reading. They've heard the good news from Jesus, and they've responded rightly. But you see, the religious leaders, they're doubly wrong. They heard, but have said, I haven't responded rightly. They've also seen the change that comes when people do respond rightly. And they still turned their backs. What does Jesus say about them? You did not afterwards change your minds and believe him. End of verse 32. What they need to do is to change their minds. They've heard the good news. They've heard it from John the Baptist. They've heard it from Jesus. They need to change their minds. Just as each of us here tonight has needed to change our mind when we've heard the good news about Jesus. And maybe you're still in that place. Maybe you still haven't yet changed your mind. Change your mind about what life is really all about. Change your mind about yourself and where you fit into your scheme of things. Change your mind about Jesus and the word that he speaks. Now, it's very important that we grasp this change of mind word. It comes in the same sort of family of words as the word repent, turning around, going in a different direction. It's not quite as strong as repent, but it's pretty much there. And within the church these days, we are being sold a lie. And the lie we're being sold is that Jesus will accept you just as you are. There's no need to change. Just come as you are and Jesus accepts you. All is well. And that's even more true if you've been through the rituals of the church, if you've been baptized or confirmed, if you're happy to call yourself a disciple of Jesus. But the message here, the message of John the Baptist, as we heard, the message of Jesus, is repent. There is a life you've got to leave behind. There's a life you've got to see and recognize as wrong in God's sight, as offensive to God. And you're turning away from serving yourself in that life and turning to Jesus and service of him. It's a completely different message. It's a completely different gospel. But it is the gospel and the message of John the Baptist and of Jesus, which leaves you no longer serving yourself, but serving him. No longer living with me as number one, but with Jesus as the boss. So change your mind about your own importance. Change your mind about how the world works. Change your mind about who Jesus is and why he came to this earth. And we need to change our mind before it's too late, don't we? I'm sure you saw that tragic news story this week of an aunt and nephew killed by the driver of a stolen car a little north of here. And whenever I hear of something like that, I always ponder, were they ready? Had they changed their minds? None of us knows when such a thing might happen to us. We might be caught up in such a thing. It's never too late to change your mind and begin serving Jesus until it's too late. Maybe you came back from camp and you hadn't quite taken that step. You'd been pondering it. Maybe you've seen friends over the years turn to Jesus and have their lives turned around, but you've still not joined them. Don't leave it until it's too late. Living to serve Jesus. Go back to verse 28. What do you think? A man had two sons, and he went to the first and said, "Son, go and work in the vineyard today." Now, if we just glance around the room tonight and look at one another, can you tell by looking who has heard the gospel, changed their minds, believed in Jesus? How do you know? Well, the first thing we need to say is that Christian faith is not private faith. It's public faith. That was true then, as it is today. How do we know that the chief priests and the elders hadn't repented? Because of their attitude to Jesus. They wanted him killed. How do we spot the true believers? How do we spot people who have fully put their trust in Jesus? Those who have repented? Well, go back to verse 28, because the answer is there. Work in the vineyard today. That's the test. Now, you may want to say, well, of course, that's the family business. So if the son wants a share in it, he's got to work in the vineyard. If he wants to stay at home and get fed, then that's right, isn't it? He needs to put his shift in. The New Testament has quite a lot to say about the importance of earning your living and not sponging off other church members. And while it's important we do follow such teaching, while it's important that we make a difference within our office, our school, our workplace, that's not what Jesus is talking about here. The vineyard was an Old Testament picture of Israel, of God's people. And if you've glanced down, you'll see that the next parable is about this same vineyard. So to work in the vineyard today is to serve the owner of the vineyard in the work that he is doing. the cultivation of the vineyard, the product of a harvest of grapes. Jesus is spoken of as the one who will build his church, the one who grows his church. So for us to work in the vineyard is to serve the church. Because Jesus wants to see that community growing. He wants to see it stronger. He wants to see more people more committed to him. And that's a reminder to us that Christianity, as well as not being a private faith, is not an individual faith either. Yes, we are saved as individuals. Each one of us must take that step of changing our minds and believing. We must do that. But we are then born into a community, become a member of God's family. From the very beginning, God has been gathering together himself a people. And the life of faith is lived out within that people, within that community. Now I imagine that for many of us, it's our paid employment, it's our course at college or at university that defines us. So when you're asked the question, what do? You'll normally say, well, of course, I'm a hairdresser. Of course, I'm studying chemical engineering. And that gives your questioner all they need to know to pigeonhole you. But what if you didn't give the paid employment, the education answer? What if you thought about Jesus as your boss? What if you thought about your employment being in his service, working for him in his kingdom? What if your sense of identity and worth came from him and his work rather than what pays the bills or what racks up the debts? I know of a hospital consultant in Cornwall who, when asked the what do you do question, answers, I lead the music and do some youth work in my church. That's his answer. So a huge thank you to all of you here who serve in St. John's, who are working in this particular corner of the vineyard, be it in a specific ministry like the ARC or a home group or PCC, be it in your financial giving or attendance at prayer meeting, or the encouragement you give to others by being here on a Sunday or our midweek things on a Wednesday. In previous years, we've sometimes done what we call Sign Up September, an opportunity for people to commit themselves to service for the coming year, quickly followed by Opt Out October and Knock It on the Head November. But as the church program gets going again, it may be that this would be a good opportunity for you just to rethink your involvement here at St. John's. How could I serve in the vineyard? How could I make my contribution? It may be in a formal way through joining a ministry team. It may be committing to be regular in our new midweek pattern, more of which a bit later. It may be by, yes, sorting out your financial giving. It may be by just committing to read the Bible with somebody else. Joining a small group. Now, of course, as we talk about such involvements and such commitments, we would be foolish not to recognise the fact that we're all living under certain pressures. And certain choices we make can lead us to be kept from such service. I was talking to Claudia about this a few days ago. And she gave me this anonymized example, which I will read. Joanne Bloggs is a mum. Her children are now all at school, and she's wondering what to do with her time. She works part-time and is considering increasing her hours at work. It would be so helpful to have a bit more money each month, as life is so expensive in Tunbridge Wells. This would mean that they could definitely have a holiday in the summer, plus finding money for school trips and clubs through the year, which would be easier too. Joanne will have to stop helping with Monday Fellowship during the week. She'll spend less time with the non-Christian mums from school, though they too are working more now. She will try to continue to make a small group, but she knows she may become less regular, as it will be hard to fit everything into the week in future. The realities of the pressures we feel not to serve. Well, let me encourage you to live out your repentance and faith and to work in the vineyard. Let me encourage you to serve as you are able. And let me encourage you to think of yourself in the light of that service, in the light of Jesus, the one whom you serve as you work in the vineyard. Because the sign of a true Christian, of someone who has been truly converted, someone who has repented and believed, is that he or she lives that out for others in the life of the church, as they serve Jesus, the builder and Lord of his church. One of the great prayers of the old prayer book talks about his service being perfect freedom. We discover that freedom as we give ourselves to his service. We began by asking a question. What does your behaviour tell me? Well, thanks to this parable, we know what behaviour Jesus is looking for. Go and work in the vineyard today.